לחיים טובים ולשלום.
לחיים, לחיים.
Have a good night of Shabbos, everyone. Welcome, Baruch Hashem. What a great schus, Baruch Hashem, to usher in Shabbos together, Erev Shabbos together. First of all, a tremendous welcome back to Reb Steve. Baruch Hashem, we missed over the last 2 weeks of Shir, Baruch Hashem, our Shir Gabbai. It's wonderful to have Reb Steve back in a tremendous yeshua. Before we get to all of our sponsors for tonight, also just a tremendous yeshua to Reb Tzvi for the beautiful... we heard the calls for salad. I heard that this is the healthier option, Baruch Hashem, that we went with. So tremendous. See, thank you all. It's so beautiful, so wonderful. Thank you. Steve, who are our sponsors tonight?
Under threat of Mother's Gefilte Fish. Susan and Abe Zwani, in honor of the recent upsharing of Yonah Matan.
Mazel tov.
The protection of Klal Yisrael.
Amen.
And Ruvain Rakovsky. I think also because of the threat earlier.
Yes.
Within 5 minutes,
well,
I got two sponsors.
The threat of gefilte fish and stale pretzels does a lot.
I knew Steve would come with that.
Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem. All right, so we'll see. We are continuing in Meretz Hashem tonight with the Piyajetzna. And we find ourselves again, just this Svarim in Meretz Hashem will be here by next week. Emir Hashem, I ordered a bunch. I know that I ordered enough, but whatever, we could order a couple of waves of Svarim as well, Emir Hashem. So we're taking time because we both say, we also just have in mind that our learning should be a zechus for all of Klal Yisrael. That, I think, I don't know, I know that for me, every time that we finish this shir, and every time that we finish learning together with the Rebbe, with the Piyajetzna, and we feel so inspired and so connected to the Rebbe, and I also say, when you learn the Torah of a tzaddik, his neshama is with you as you learn. So that means every single Thursday night, every single Erev Shabbos, when we get together to learn, literally our Rebbe, the Piyajetzna, is literally right here with us. And I think, I don't know, maybe it's just me, but I know for me, after the Thursday night shir, I feel in my heart that this was the way to close out the week, and the coming week is just going to bring such bracha and such yeshua and such incredible besoros tovos Klal Yisrael. And yet, we still find ourselves at the end of another week, and our hostages still have not been returned to their families. And we lost more beautiful and holy, precious soldiers this week. So it just means that we have to work harder. It just means that we have to do more. And it just means that our Rebbe is here to inspire us more with his words, with his sefer. And halavai, Meretz Hashem, we should just be zocha. Then in the schus of the Torah that we learned tonight, and I'm about to say, the power of this Torah is not simply what we get to learn in a couple of minutes together. That's the haschala. The power of this Torah is the ability to take it home and then do something with it and change your life with it and change yourself with it, which I think many of us are already experiencing. We experienced it in B'nai Machshava Tova, and we're continuing to experience it now in Sav V'Zeros. But halavai, we should just be zochin the schus of the Piyajetzna, the schus of all of the Kedoshim, the schus of all of the Neshamas Tehoros, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bring Yeshuas and Nechamas for Klal Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should allow our soldiers to be successful in all of their endeavors and to come home to their families intact physically, intact emotionally. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bring back every single one last of the hostages. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should just allow every broken family to finally be intact. And most of all, what we need more than anything, any bracha, we need the bracha of Mashiach. We need the bracha of Gula. We need the bracha of Tchiyas Amesim. And have I wish to be zochei Meretz Hashem to see that bracha here at Bi'Ameinu. Amen.
Amen.
So I will see we are continuing tonight in section Dalet. We actually began section Dalet last week, but I felt like I rushed through it a little bit. So did I rush through it a little bit?
No.
Yeah, I did. No? Okay. I didn't rush through anything at all. Okay. I felt like I rushed through a little bit. So let's just begin at the beginning of section Dalet, Emeretz Hashem, and a little Chazara. Hishana b'nafsha. Piyajetzna says, take stock of your soul. Take stock of your soul. Mahayai masisa is kol asher ala b'nafshecha. B'machshavtecha. Oritzonecha me'od chayil yamazez. We'll say, we read this line last week, and to me, part of the beauty, and I think that we've seen now in the learning of the Piyajetzna, we've seen now again his sefer a number of times, but part of the beauty that we continue to see, and I will say in a second.
It's going to turn the fan off. It's got a thermostat.
Saeed says it's not warm. Saeed said it's not warm.
So the PhDs, remember again, we'll say in like an incredible moment of like profound self-awareness, the PhDsna said like this. I'm not letting you serve. Thank you. So the Piaget, thank you. I don't know who brought this, but thank you. Is this
it's a vintage for the rest of us.
Package deal. Mamish, thank you. Thank you. So the Piaget says, imagine for a moment if you allowed yourself to do whatever you wanted. Whatever you wanted, right? You didn't restrain yourself at all. And imagine from the time that you were young, you just did whatever you wanted, whatever you felt, whatever you desired. Whatever you desired. He said, imagine where you would be today. Kama mezuham meguna u'mechur haya oseish be'enei Elokim v'adam. Right? How disgusting such a person would be in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the eyes of man. In other words, we'll say, imagine I was a complete creature of impulse. I just did whatever I wanted, no restraint, nothing. So again, I will say, the PhD just said about himself, if any of us just gave in to whatever desire we have and we just did anything we wanted, so just imagine what a disgusting human being that is, what a person like that ultimately looks like. I'm just reading quickly because we did this last week. And I will say, the only reason I am who I am is why? Because at the end of the day, I exercise restraint. I don't do whatever I want. Right? At the end of the day, I rein myself in. Vimkein, I will say, and I remember again. So essentially, I am who I am. In other words, with all of my faults, but at least like I'm not like a behemoth. Why? Because I exercise restraint. In other words, if I just did whatever I wanted, again, I will say, this is important to understand. What the PhD is highlighting is, like, what is that? Yeah. All right. Our that's changed. I managed to shut it all off. Okay. Our default, right? Our default at the end of the day is to just give in to every carnal desire and want. The only reason I don't do that is because I exercise some level of self restraint. And I will say, he says, "Ve'im kein, ba'men nichbeda nafshcha kishi latzma." That's the case. I'm really no different than a criminal, right? What happens with a criminal? A criminal commits a crime. Why does a criminal commit a crime? Because let's just go on a basic level. Because he just simply gives in to his wants, his desires. What happens after the criminal commits the crime? What happens? He's incarcerated. What happens when he's incarcerated? He's restrained. So now I will say, so the PhDsna says, so kind of like the criminal and I have a lot in common. We both don't do certain things we might want to do because we are restrained from doing so. Right? My restraints may be internal, his restraints may be external, but we both kind of are in the same boat of the human condition. Thank you. Istakom abinafshecha. Hey, I'm supposed to say page shinchav gimel. Him in afshecha, lorama arka. So we'll say, this is actually a very strong statement of PhD. So in essence, I'm not really any different than the criminal. In other words, both of us, if just left to indulge every single want, desire, and lust, would be disgusting people. So the only difference between us, so what keeps us both from becoming those disgusting people? What keeps us both from becoming those disgusting people? Restraint. The only difference is that what? My restraint is internal. His, the criminal's restraint, is external. But what the PhDs is highlighting over here, both say, is that at our core, it's the same dynamic. Now you're going to see why he's going down this road. Vimhigbata, both say, page Shinchav Gimel, this is, now we didn't do this last week. Vimhigbata's Atzmacha. So the Rebbe says, We often think that the goal in Yiddishkeit is restraint, right? That's my goal. Man is made from Adam, right? Adama, right? Man is made from earth, which means man has all of these base and carnal wants and desires, all of these lusts and thoughts and different things. And what's my job? My job is to restrain. My job is to hold myself back from indulging every single thing that I want. And the Rebbe says something amazing. He says, so whenever an inappropriate thought or a desire comes about, so therefore, what do I think? I think my job is whenever these wants, desires bubble up, right? What's my job? Stop it. Shut it down. Right? Which, by the way, sounds pretty good. I'll say, think about this just a moment. Imagine if you could live a life where every single time a want or a desire that's inappropriate surged up inside of you, that you were able to clamp down on it. That sounds to me like a ridiculously successful spiritual life, right? Where it's there, it's bubbling up inside of me, but I'm able to restrain myself. The Rebbe says, that's not enough. That's not enough. There's a higher goal. But listen to his lashon over here. Restraint is not enough. The exercising of restraint does not fulfill the obligation you have to your soul. So if restraint is not enough, then what am I obligated to do? Well, so here it is. Rak es hatzav v'haziruz hazeshman. Here's the name of the sefer. Rabbi will say the tzav. What's the tzav? Well, how do you translate tzav? The command or the obligation, right? The moral obligation I have for the zeros, right? The thing that I have to literally, again, zrizos, the thing that I have to run after with incredible alacrity, shmano, terape es nafshecha. Restraint is not enough, Rabbi Osei. Restraint is not enough. What do I need to do? I need to heal my soul. What does that mean? Velo tistapek la'atzor ba'ada bilvad. It's not enough to restrain. It's not enough to restrain. You have to heal. The Rebbe will say, what does it mean? What does it mean to heal? What the Rebbe is describing over here is something incredibly profound. So I will say, whether you recognize it or not, so as we go through life, we accept certain things as a given within our lives, right? We'll say, are there more sheets down here? If anyone needs, okay. So good. So as we go through life, we accept certain things as a given within our lives, right? What do we accept? What do we accept as a given? At the end of the day, we accept the fact that I'm just going to have all of these titus. I'm going to have all of these desires, right? All of these struggles, all of these things. This is it. This is what I've got. And again, my job: contain, restrain. That's my job. The Rebbe says there's another step, and the additional step is root it out. That identify the things that are like the scourge on your neshama. Identify the desires, the wants, and he says, terape es nafshecha, heal yourself. You don't have to go ahead and be content with containment. There is the ability to go ahead and heal the things that are broken. There is the ability to root out the negative desires, the negative wants, the negative proclivities. V'lo tistapek, don't be content, la'atzor ba'ado bilvad. Don't be content with just containment, but rather, again, aim for something so much bigger. The ability to root out the inappropriateness which often resides within my heart. It'll say, we don't even know what the PHS is talking about yet, or exactly how you do such a thing like this. But I was like, can you imagine living on a level like this? Can you imagine living on a level? I think many of us, maybe even all of us, live with ongoing struggle every single day. For some of us, it's in one area. For many of us, it's in multiple areas. And what's the definition of a successful day? I didn't give in. I stood strong. And all the Piaget is opening our eyes to is that there's another level of existence. There's another level. And the other level of existence is the ability to purge myself of that negativity. Imagine living life without those things that you have to contain every single day. See, we often think that the only way you could live without containment is how? How do you live without containment?
Suppression.
Just do whatever you want, right? No, because suppression is also containment, right? I'm saying like, so if I'm not containing it, the only other alternative is just run amok, like just do whatever I want. So it's either contain it or like just like let it take over. Piaget says there's another option. Root it out. And he gives a beautiful mashal. We'll say, take a look at the next paragraph. This is incredible. We'll say, now again, okay, let's look. He says, Yesh machalas patza bakeva asherachola mekis kalkilas. Listen to this. Piaget describes over here that a person could have a stomach condition where he vomits everything that he eats. Now, literally, again, petza bakeva literally means like a wound in the stomach. So I don't know if this is some type of ulcer or something. I'm sorry?
Odyempik.
Whatever, you know. Right? So now he has some type of stomach condition where whatever he goes at and he eats, he vomits. Now watch this. V'im elrofe elil yovo. So we'll say, if he goes to, you know, an average doctor, a regular guy. You stop a petrufos latzras akasa. What says incredible. So he goes to the doctor. Right, I show up to the doctor. I say, doctor, everything I eat, I vomit. I vomit up. So the doctor is going to say, okay, you know, let's make sure that you could eat without vomiting. In other words, so maybe an unskilled or lesser skilled doctor will simply try to address the vomiting issue. Right. So how do we get you to eat without throwing up everything that you're eating? Ves hapetza. Lo yirape. But what is the doctor not doing? By treating the vomiting by itself, what is he not doing? He's not addressing the actual illness. Right? The vomiting is just,
Symptom.
A symptom, it's right? It's a manifestation, right? It's a manifestation of the illness. Is there something wrong with my stomach? But the problem is if I go to the doctor, often he'll just address the symptom. He's not addressing the underlying issue. So what's going to happen? Okay, so Piaget sounds like pretty explicit over here. He says, what's going to happen? You'll stop the vomiting. But meanwhile, again, what's accumulating in the stomach? So the vomit and the pus and the blood, and it's all accumulating in there. And there's just going to be a point where what happens? The body can't contain it anymore. And it'll all come out. He says, Va'az. So what's the problem? The problem is, by the time that happens, and everything's coming out, right? Everything's coming out. The stomach issue often has gotten to such a level that it's no longer treatable. We'll say, why? Why is that? Because the whole time, the doctor was just treating the symptom, not the illness. However, listen to this. But if a person goes to an expert doctor, Yachtor bedaito el kevaso shalachola. The expert doctor is not looking at the symptoms. The expert doctor is not worried about the vomiting. He's worried about the vomiting. That's not really what he's worried about. He's like, what is causing the vomiting? Right? My goal is not to stop the vomiting. My goal is to cure whatever it is that is the core, that is the underlying ailment. So you go to an expert doctor, he's going to look at the stomach. Vim yiske me Hashem, tala trufaso lerapos gamas apatza, espatza kevaso penima. I will say the expert doctor will then find the wound or find whatever the issue is on the stomach, will heal that. Now, of course, in turn, will heal the vomiting. But more important than healing the vomiting, ultimately, again, the real core inner issue as well. And we'll say, you see where this is going. Look what he writes. Kimokim, yeshnam anoshim, there are people, shemachshavos ta'avos midos mezuhomos rodfasim rachman al-islam. We'll say this is incredible. The Piaget says there are people who have thoughts of desires and terrible midos, and these things run after them all of the time. But as we'll say, I very much identify with this. I think that we all have things that we struggle with that are a constant struggle, right? Not like an episodic struggle, not like every once in a while. It's not like, okay, there's a trigger for this struggle. Like, there's stuff that I'm always dealing with all of the time. Struggles, desires, wants, thoughts, negative character traits. And literally, it's a constant struggle. Every moment of every day, it's a constant struggle. Hein b'hakitz, hein b'chalom. I'm struggling then when I'm awake, and I'm struggling with when I'm asleep. Afilu osan machshavo shalomatsu kan b'libam. Lies mitzo, yimala sibam mocham. And then what happens? Even if at the end of the day, somehow I'm able to keep the thoughts, you know, out of my mind for a little bit of time, or out of my heart for a little bit of time, right? If I let my guard down for a moment, what happens? One second, what happens? Everything comes flooding back in. He says, "V'kama pamim shafchu anoshim." This is incredible. Piagetsna writes, "V'kama pamim shafchu anoshim zekinim es libam lefonai." Piagetsna says, "I can't tell you how many times old people have come to spill their heart out before me." Now, listen, understand. The Piagetsna died right in his early 40s. So we're talking about over here that as a young man, right, he was already recognized, he was already a rabbi, he was already recognized as a gadol, right? Older people came to like bare their soul to him. And he said, Shalakuri writes, Shafilu osam hadvarim shi efshar lahem kvar lasos machmas choshosam gam kein kimola hachis megarbam. Bo says, incredible. Piagetsna says, I found something amazing. Bo says, this is incredible. It says, so people would come, and they would like talk to the Piagetsna about what they were struggling with. Not confession. That's wrong religion, right? We don't have that. I mean, we have confession, but you can confess to God, not to anyone else. Right? But we'll say, but sometimes a person needs to unburden themselves. Right? A person needs to unburden themselves. A person needs to be honest with someone about who they are and what they're doing and how they're behaving. And the Piagetsna said, I had encounters with older people who were telling me stuff that they were desirous of doing and thoughts they were having. And meanwhile, they were actually too old to do any of that stuff. Right? In other words, let's say, the power of taiva is so intense, right? You can imagine the Piagetsna is like you've got tennis balls on your walker, right? Like in other words, you can't do that stuff anymore, right? You've passed your prime on that kind of stuff, right? And yet, again, they're still struggling with these thoughts, right? The thoughts are still there. The desires are still ruminating around, even though for the body, long gone, right? Past your prime for that kind of stuff, but yet it's still churning in their neshama. The Piagetsna says, how does that happen? How does that? I see people say, no, I think we don't think about it this way. So we're going to see this in just a little bit. We often think to ourselves that sinful thoughts or desirous thoughts are a manifestation of a bodily desire to do something and a bodily ability to do something. But again, once there's no longer physical wherewithal, that goes away. Piaget said, I speak, old men come to me. They spill their soul before me. And they're talking about being desirous of things that the body simply cannot do at their age. He says, he goes on, V'lua Marti, look what he writes, V'lua Marti lirsham kan ezim ma'oros kamo ela. And if I would write down some of the stuff that people tell me, tisamer sa'aros harosh, your hair would fall out. So the Piagetsna would say, I just want to point out, you know, we think, everybody thinks that, oh, our generation has all of these things, people are people, and desires are desires, and challenges are challenges. Okay, maybe things are a bit more accessible now than they were in the past, right? But Lamais, again, the human condition is doing this. So the Piagetsna says, I've heard it all. And I've heard all kinds of struggles. V'shelo etztarich ba l'nabels kuntrusi ani roshem, rak ma'ase anochachi. So Piagetsna says, I don't really want to defile this journal. I don't want to defile this journal. And so I'm not going to write down every single thing that people told me. But l'maisa, I'll just go ahead and just write down certain things, really for just illustrative purposes. Look at the last paragraph. He gives an example. Now I will say, this happens to be an extreme example. It's interesting that he chose this one. He says, Kafri boilai. Kafri comes from the word kfar, a villager. Now, when he sees about a villager, what is he talking about? A simpleton, right? A simple, unlearned Jew. So a simple villager came to me. Bochev etzoik, crying, literally crying. He says, Heyos, ki hesi chulshas halev, avalo azeh bochev. So his health was in danger. He had a weak heart, but that's not why he was coming crying to the Piagetsna. No, boss is gonna, this is wild. He says, "Rak aha shebachol itchuchol shasatok feyu yavolo rayon sheyitzali besatzmo." he's consumed by this thought that he should crucify himself. He's like, good news, that is one thing I do not struggle with, right? Baruch Hashem, right? Good. I thought I had all the problems, thank God, one thing off my list. Now you're going to see what this is about. But this guy is preoccupied with thoughts about crucifying himself. Rachmana Litzlan, V'itavlo, why? Because crucifying himself will ultimately be good for him. Be good for him in the afterlife. Turn the page. V'chol kach gadla machshava hara, Ashut Sarich Koach Godol Latsar Es Yadav Milavatia Es Machshav Tara. And we'll say, he needs, and the thoughts are so intense. The thoughts are so intense that he requires so much effort to push these thoughts out of his mind. Shakalti Vechakarti Bizekanim Umlolam Eila Ubachomohusam Veraisi Shirabi Meheb. So we'll say, see now, here's what's interesting. So here's an older man, right? Simple Jew. Who is consumed by these thoughts of crucifixion. Right? Again, not a fear of being crucified, but like almost like a desire for this kind of end. So the Piaget says, Shakalti v'chakarti b'zikenim umlolim eila u'b'chom u'usam. Piaget says, you know, when people came to me with stuff like this, like, I tried to understand, right? The Piaget Sabosai was a great understander of the human spirit and the human mind. He said, try to understand, like, where does this come from? Where does this come from, right? Where does this come from that a guy is in his old age is preoccupied with the concept or just totally overrun by the concept of being crucified? Where does that, look what he writes. V'ra'isi, sherabim mehem gabini oreim, lo hayu rot fei taiva, machshavas raus chasas shalom, kimo shechashtu heimes atzmam. So now when the Piagetsna asked this guy, he's like, why do you think you have these desires and these thoughts about crucifixion? So what would normally come to mind? What would come to mind is it must be because, you know, my ruchnius is not strong. I never, you know, I gave in to this taiva, to that desire. The Piagetsna says, you know, as we did a little bit more like self-work, I recognize that these were not bad people. These were not people who led sinful lives. Apparently, this happened to more than one person, right? This was not an individual again who was engaged in negative behavior. So, what was it? He says, "Va'af ato rechokim heim mizet achlas arichok, rakiven shevachol avodasam tamid letare samach vesalev, rak ala moach valei tishkichu." Osei, watch this. This is incredible. The Piagetsna said, Osei, in man's life, there are three parts to me. Well, more than three parts, but three parts we're going to focus on right now. There's the moach, the mind, which is intellect. There is the lev, which is emotion. And then there's the nefesh, there's the neshama. And the Piagetsna said, what I noticed about these people who struggle with these incessant thoughts of sin is that they worked very hard to purge sin from the mind, to purge it intellectually, to purge it from the heart emotionally, but they did not take the necessary steps to purge sin from the nefesh, from the soul. See, what the Piagetsna is enlightening us to and really opening our eyes to is that when there is a desire for sin, it imprints on the individual. It imprints on the intellect. It imprints on the heart and it imprints on the soul. And this is, by the way, this is even if I didn't do anything. This is even just the act of desire. This is just, again, the illicit thoughts. And again, I will say, again, Baruch Hashem, to my credit, I haven't allowed the thoughts to translate into action. But even the thoughts themselves leave their imprint on the moach, on the mind, on the lev, on the heart, and on the nefesh, and on the soul. And the Piaget says the problem is too often, people, when they try to reverse it, try to reverse the imprint on the mind and on the heart, but forget to try to reverse the imprint on the soul. That's what they forget. Kamor, listen to this. Atzru ba'adan efesh l'bal totzi v'taki esrichasa al moach v'aliv v'cha ki atzor o maki atriya nitcha kuvnishu b'nefesh k'mon shayu. So we'll say, what's the problem? It's like the guy with the stomach ailment. What happens? So they spend all of this time trying to go ahead and heal the ailments. How do they heal the ailment? Purge the thoughts from the mind. Purge, right, thought, intellect. Purge the thoughts ultimately again from the lave, from emotion. I will say, but what is that like? That's like treating the vomiting. Because I will say, the real impact of chait, the real impact of chait is the impact it has on the neshama. That's the real impact. That's the damage. That's the real damage that comes from chait. And the PHS, the problem is that so often when trying to clean up the mess of chait, we attack the symptoms. So I know it's in my mind because I'm thinking about it. So I got to get rid of it from the moach. I know that it's in my heart because I'm feeling those emotions. I'm feeling that desire. So that's where I go. I go for the symptoms. I want to stop the vomiting. I want to get the symptoms. But I forget that that chait has imprinted upon my soul. So my soul is different. My soul is damaged. My soul is changed. And unless I get to the root core problem in my soul, it doesn't go away. The vomiting may stop a little bit, right? The symptoms may stop a little bit. The thoughts may even stop a little bit. The feelings may stop a little bit, but only for a little bit. They'll come back. Because the core issue in my soul is still there. He goes on, he says, and again, it remains in the soul until a time that it has the ability to come out again. The efshar lahem lilchom kolkach neged nafsham v'latzar ba'ada. Lacheni mista'aras amocham v'libam kitam. I'm supposed to listen to this. This is incredible. So now we're going to go back. We're going to go back to this case study. Because that's essentially what's happening over here, right? Once we have a case study, right? So the Piagetna is saying, this guy's coming along, right? This guy who just has taivas, it's just this desire. It's only like desire for crucifixion. And so like, what is it, right? What is it? We'll see when we get to it in just a moment. But what is it? The Piagetna says, before we get into his specific case, understand what happens. When all you do in life is get rid of chait in your mind and in your heart, in the moach and in the lave, but you don't address the imprint of chait on your soul, then what happens is it'll keep coming back over and over and over. The same thing, the guy with the ulcer, we'll just call it an ulcer for illustrative purposes, right? You may be able to treat the vomiting, but if you don't address the ulcer, okay, you may feel fine for days, weeks, months, maybe even years. But there will come a point in time where that ulcer is going to come back with a viciousness. So we'll say, watch this. So back to our coffee, back to our villager. Get ready for this. Afa kafi ama aretz. So I'll say, now watch this. So let's get back to our villager. Right? Where did this come up, this desire for crucification? He says, Kevan, Shemina Aruso Shamea Akum, Esmov Semashkarim. So Rabosai, again, our villager, villager means he did not grow up in a Jewish community. So who are his buddies? Right? The local notes, the local Christians. So what do they talk about? The stories of Yashka, right? So they have all of their stories about Yashka this and Yashka that. They have all their different stories. And from the time that he was young, he heard about the stories of Yashka, the incredible miracles that he did. And he says, "V'af she'in yitzhar shalavoda zara nimsa," the guy didn't have a desire to, let's say, convert Chasham to another religion. "Aval kevan shama ares haya," but the guy was unlearned. So let's remember again, this is actually very important. The problem with being ignorant is that you have no knowledge to combat other ideas that people feed into your mind. I will say, this is exactly the entire problem with everyone in this country under 25, right? In other words, when you don't actually have real life knowledge about things, people fill your head with all kinds of things and you're like, okay, you know, and you just go with it. So we'll say, so now watch this. So now our villager grew up amongst Gentiles, amongst Christians. And what do they talk about? Good God-fearing Christians, right? They talk about their God and they talk about all of his miracles and all of this stuff. And not that he ever had a desire to go ahead and become a Christian, but at the end of the day, he says, Sipure habadoim bikirbo niklatu. The stories imprinted on him. And I will say again, that's why the context is important. And because he was ignorant, right, there was no corresponding Torah knowledge to offset this. So he's trying to be a good Jew. He's hearing all of these maisalach, right, from his friends. And he hears all of this stuff. Again, he's firm enough in his belief that he's not going to convert. But at the same time, he hears all this stuff and those stories imprinted. Those stories imprinted. They're both saying, I watch this. Now, the Kafri, the villager, knows enough to know that the stories, he knows in his heart they're not true. So what does he do? He intellectually, not true. Tell myself, again, these are not my stories. I repudiate these stories. Emotionally, I'm not going to allow myself. But I will say, but there's one area that he didn't address. What was one area he didn't address? His neshama. Because the thoughts, these thoughts imprinted on his neshama. So for all of these years, he's controlling what he thinks and what he feels. But he never rooted it out from his neshama. And therefore, v'rak mimocho v'libo gershem. He chased that from his heart, from his mind, from his heart. U'benafsho nishro le'es meso. And ultimately, again, but the imprint is still there on his soul. Eis ziknuso. Now he's an old man. V'yata mahastem u'metzach gimhein b'mocho v'libo be'im afriya. And I will say, now what happens? As an old man, now what happens? Everything goes. We're going to talk about this. The other part of the challenge of old age is, right? Unstructured free time. It's kind of like being a teenager and being an old person are kind of like in the same bucket, right? Teenager, unstructured free time, totally not good. Retiree, right? Unstructured free time, totally not good, right? In other words, we saw this in B'nai Machshava Tova. Your day has to be scheduled from the time you wake up to the time you go to sleep. Every hour has to be accounted for. It doesn't mean you have to be learning Torah the whole time. You want to sit and watch a movie, that's fine. When are you starting? When are you ending? Right? And what are you watching? Right? In other words, it's obviously everything has to be accounted for, but your time has to be accounted for. So what's the problem? So this guy goes that in his youth, he thought he got rid of this. Now he's an old man. As an old man, I guess, whatever, there's no shop he has to run anymore, right? There's no store he has to run. There's no business. There's no this. So we'll say, so now what happens? So now, all of that stuff that's been churning around the neshama for all of these years that was never dealt with, it was never removed, it's like the vomit, the pus, the blood that accumulated in the ulcerated stomach, right? That just now comes rushing out. Because no one ever treated the underlying illness. No one ever treated the underlying illness of an impacted neshama. It's incredible. It's incredible. He goes on, he says, V'zakin kazeh, doma be'enai, abde'enai atzmo, shesaraf eskala Torah kula chas v'shalom, v'lokiyem afilu hogech. And Abbas Piaget says, can you imagine how this guy feels about himself? Let's pause here for just a moment, right? Okay, so we're quick to diagnose, right? Ruben already diagnosed him as being mentally ill, right? Beforehand, okay, right? Right, so keep your day job, all right? Right, so now what's incredible to note is, Piaget says, can you imagine how this guy feels about himself? Right, can you imagine you're an alter yid, you know that the end is coming, and you just can't get out of your mind thoughts of crucifixion. You're like, I am a waste of life. I'm a waste of space. I cannot believe that this is who I am. That in my last years in this world, this is what I'm... So Piaget says, this is how this guy looks at it. So meanwhile, Chas Shalom, that's not it. Your underlying illness, your spiritual ulcer was never addressed. So you've been suffering from a chronic illness that's never been addressed. And now it just all came bubbling up for a whole variety of different reasons. But you're not a waste of space. You're not a waste of life. You're a beautiful and holy neshama. But you're a neshama that is impacted. And because of that, somehow you have to heal yourself. He goes on, he says, hello, maka libo memari tesaro social v'soik bocha. This guy literally, again, he's literally like clapping al chetz, right? He's pulling the hair out of his head. He's crying. Hello, b'chol yemei chaya, av she'adati she'yom v'yom chaya miskatshim, u'l'yom ha'achroni miskarev, mikom mokom zol sayon echemasi. Because Rebbe said, listen to this. What did this guy think his whole life? What was his nechama? Rebbe said, I want to be clear. The thoughts of crucifixion weren't new. He had them when he was young also, which makes sense. You hear all the stories, right? You hear all the stories. So what was his nechama when he was young and he had these thoughts? What did he think to himself, right? What was his saving grace? What was his incredible? And then we'll have to stop. What was his saving grace? No problem. One day, shezdakein, yachid and kochi, I'm going to get old. And what's the nice part about getting old? The nice part about getting old is the fires of desire subside. They don't rage. They don't rage the same way that they raged when I was young. It's one of the benefits, right? But I'll say this, by the way, is in a holistic, this is why also as we get older, we have the power of dispassionate decision making. Right, when we're young, also like we're very passionate about everything, sometimes we get ourselves into a lot of trouble. Right, that's why some people, as they get older, they still keep that youthful edge, and that's why they don't have friends. Right, but I'm saying, there are people like that. They're just like always so sharp and so coarse, and they know everything, and they're this. Meanwhile, like really, you're this old, and you still don't know that you don't know everything. And they like the voice that they know everything. We'll say that for a different share. In any event, the point that Pierre Jetson is making over here is this guy thought to himself this whole time, you know, I'm going to get old, and the fires are going to die down. And meanwhile, he gets old, and what happens? They just keep intensifying. And he's like, what is wrong with me? What happened to me? Boss, you know, we'll have to stop over here for a time. I'm leaving you in the middle of the villager story. But I just want to point out. I know. So I just want to point out, Jesse should know, I just want to tell you, your life changed tonight. Your life fundamentally changed tonight. Because I must say, now we understand that every Aveira impacts us in three dimensions. The Moach, the Lev, and the Neshama. And so often in life, what we tackle, ultimately again, is the Moach and the Lev. And what we forget to tackle is the Neshama. And that's why so often the problems in life that we have, we don't get rid of them. They just keep on showing up in different forms and different iterations. And that's why the Piaget said, going back full circle, no, I'm really going to stop. The Piaget said, that's why in life, we cannot content ourselves with restraint or containing. Our goal is to figure out what's wrong and what's broken, to get in there and to root it out. Because once I root it out, then I'm able to reach full potential. I will stop over here for tonight. Continue. Myrav in the shul. I can't even have a clip. No.